Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with T. Frank Carr, and it's quarter number three. You know what that means. It's time to ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer all your Penn State football and recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, download our app, Keystone Sports, wherever you get your podcast, and just search for Keystone Sports. And there's an Ask T. Frank button there, and the rest is self-explanatory. You ready, T. Frank?
Ready to go.
All right, let's start with Sammy in Royersford. And just as an aside, you and I were talking, T. Frank, between segments, how sometimes we get all negative questions, and that's the nature of the beast. However, let's start with a positive one with Sammy here. He says, T. Frank, am I crazy for thinking one good offensive lineman from the transfer portal and we might actually have the makings of a decent offensive line? No offense to the players leaving, but it almost feels like addition by subtraction.
That's kind of where I've landed myself, Sammy. So that's a great question. And it's not just about the one guy from the transfer portal. And I'm sensing this behind Sammy's question, that the young guys that are coming up through and ready to start next season are also a part of the factor of improvement. And I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I think if Penn State gets two from the portal, then yes, you can say that Penn State should have a good offensive line. Not an elite one, but a back to where they've been previously, which is you can win just about any game with this group, especially with some of the potency on offense that we've described, from the tight ends improving to Mitchell Tinsley and Parker Washington, and then some of the young backs with explosive talent that should be stepping up next season. All you need is an offensive line to get to where it has been previously, and this group can produce. I have been so high to the point of overhyping Landon Tangwall. So I'm going to just say, we've only seen a couple hundred snaps from him. So as much as I like that, there is still going to be question about when he gets into certain situations. We just haven't seen enough information yet. We also haven't seen him full time at the position I think he's going to be playing, which is guard. We saw one game of that. I loved the one game. It was everything I expected. I'm projecting him to be good this year, not the level of good that we had in, you know, whatever you would accept as good from last season. He's going to be better than that in my projection. Another guy, Olafishanu. I liked what I saw from him. There is more information to gather at that point as well. So the left tackle, I think you can be optimistic about it, but just keep it in your back pocket that we haven't seen him against great pass rushers. So there might be some opportunities for him to struggle. But he executed assignment. He looks good from his fundamentals of the position. He doesn't have any weird hitches. He doesn't have... The only thing is, like, what's his upper end ability? So I think the baseline is great for those two guys. And then, yeah, if you add in another football player, especially if it were a right tackle, and you could have the line maybe a little more holistically positioned, Caden Wallace going inside I think would help his career. But even then, if not, and you've got really good players at certain key positions, that's what you need. You need a couple of really good guys, and then everyone else just needs to perform their duties to expectation. Offensive lines 1 through 5 are not all elite. You have weak points everywhere, but it's about mitigating your weaknesses, not having overwhelming strengths at every position. So yeah, Sammy, one good player from the portal that is a difference maker adds to that, and I think does make that happen.
And as far as fan enthusiasm, you know, the fact that Fashanu and Tangwall weren't there all this past season, it'll feel like next year they can contribute. That's completely new. And we heard that Sal Warmly was a guy who was looked at as a starter at the beginning of the season, but injuries kept him out. So just having those three players, that's potentially three new guys ready to step up.
And J.B. Nelson.
At least gives us hope.
And J.B. Nelson.
Well, tell me real quickly about Nelson, the JUCO kid. believe you talked about him a little bit before really changing his body. What can we expect from him?
So right now he's actually listed even lower on in his weight than I was expecting it. He's 6'4", 300 pounds, which is amazing considering what he looked like a couple years ago and how much work he's put in. Really long arms, physical violent blocker, has the ability and the high-end potential to be a people mover. So more size, more physicality. I would expect by the time the season rolls around, he's around 310 or 315, but it's a hammered out 315. Like, it's not a lot of wasted weight. That sort of intimidation factor from him, if he is able to work his way into the lineup, some technique things, he was more effort than technique at times. So more of that refinement from Phil Troutwine, I think that could change things for him. And this is kind of the profile of the guys that Phil Troutwine has been targeting, as opposed to the elite physical guys. They've been going for more of, this guy's a nasty run blocker. Maybe there are some problems in his athleticism, but that's on the coach to teach him the techniques to overcome that. As Phil Troutwine and James Franklin have talked about, like, he wasn't the best athlete, but he made it to the NFL because he had great technique and he knew how to overcome those things. Seeing some of those guys come into the program with the size and violence to make it work should make Penn State fans feel better about the trajectory of where they're going. They have to get there, but they are doing and making some of those steps to change that.
Got it. All right. Let's go to Mark in Alexandria, Virginia. Hey, T. Frank, love your analysis. Can you tell me, how does Jonathan Sutherland fit in at linebacker, and does that change at all with Manny Diaz as the new defensive coordinator?
I was just having this conversation with somebody on our message board of, I'm not expecting a lot out of Jonathan Sutherland. Now, the Sam linebacker position, and I've made this is going to be a whole thing, Jim, so we're going to get into it. The Sam linebacker position, the 11th defender is what I call it, is who's playing over the slot in college. It's the space player on the wide side of the field. There are a bunch of different ways to solve that problem. If you're saying that Penn State is going three safeties next year and Jonathan Sutherland is in that spot, okay, great. Yeah, okay. But don't tell me that Jonathan Sutherland's a linebacker. He's 5'11", 200 pounds. And if you're telling me that he's going to bulk up next season, there's no way to physically, at least from what I've read and understand about sports science, to physically and naturally get to the size he needs to in one off season. So if he's 210 or 215 next year, then he's a big box safety. He's not going to be a linebacker, truly. So that's my problem with that conversation. But if we're saying Penn State's going to a 5-2, okay, yeah, all right. And then you bring in Daquan Hardy on passing downs to be, again, your eraser in the slot as a coverage player. But I didn't like what I saw from Sutherland's instincts as a true linebacker during the game. But he's got a lot of time to work on that. So that's the avenue, I think, if you want to be hopeful about that, is that he's a smart kid. He's got a whole offseason to learn the position. He was kind of thrown in the fire there. But he's not going to be a linebacker. Don't expect that. He is going to have to play gaps in the run game. So that is going to be what I'm watching. Is Penn State has been pretty good at finding linebackers that can play in space and do that job okay, but they are good against the run when it comes to fitting in and not being over top of the box and having to kind of assist from the edge. That's going to be his job. If you're saying that we're going to a different situation, okay. That's how I view that.
All right. Basically, it sounds like you're saying he's a safety playing linebacker. Let's get to Jason in New York City, who says, hey, T. Frank, do you have any under-the-radar returning players that you don't think we're talking about enough?
That's a great question. Not to give you too much of a pregnant pause here, but this is the problem, is all of the guys that are under the radar have to perform, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go to the well on this one of a guy that I've liked since he was a freshman and provides something different than what Penn State's had the last 2 years, and that's Keziah Holmes. This is his year to make the move. He's big enough. I've seen him break tackles. He's fast. If he took the last year to work on his technique, his vision, his understanding of the offense, then great. He can be a home run threat. So my positivity about the Penn State offense is not just Nick Singleton. It's that they now have more than one option for having speed in the backfield. And with Devin Ford and him staying around, we'll see if he's here after spring ball. But that gives you three. And I tend to probably improperly discredit him. But you do have more options for speed in the backfield this year that are realistic. And if Ford is healthy, that creates even more competition and makes that young phenom in Singleton have to earn it and not just get to the field because you need him.
And you could play more than one running back, as we've learned over the last few years. Let's go to South Carolina Bob, originally from Berwick. And yes, I know Bob. Anyway, he says, T. Frank, Michigan State passed Penn State this year, and it looks like Mel Tucker is building a strong team identity through the portal. When I recall the best of last year, our portal players made a big impact for us. Yet this year, we only have added one player, the wide receiver. Why is the portal activity so slow for Penn State, and what position do we need help the most?
Well, James Franklin outlined that specifically of linebacker, receiver, offensive line, and then maybe defensive lineman. And whether P.J. Musfer is healthy or not, that is, I think, where you would go there first. Denied Dennis Sutton will be the other guy that comes in and secures rotational snaps and impact at the defensive end position, so I think they'll probably be okay there. So those are the positions. And the short answer is sometimes it's not a fit. You don't have guys that want to come to Penn State or that you want to come to Penn State. That is also a thing, that Penn State's not just going to go out and get anybody. They did try to get the linebacker that went to Michigan State from UNLV. He chose Michigan State over Penn State. And James Franklin has talked about this, of guys are going in the portal with their destinations already filled out. Their card is, their flight's already been booked. So if they do it above the board and they want to, you know, operate within the rules, they can't get guys. So Penn State's already started the semester now. They can't have anyone enroll until the spring. That's the other part of why you haven't seen anything. You may hear announcements, but guys won't be on campus until after spring ball. And that's the position they're stuck in. It didn't work out from a timing perspective here in the spring semester.
Do you get the feeling that Penn State is a little more, picky about who they bring in? They want to do more background work on players than maybe other schools?
James Franklin has said that flat out, that we're going to treat it like it's recruiting, and we're going to do our due diligence and make sure we're not bringing problems into the program, both, you know, from any perspective, and make sure it's a fit for everybody, so you don't bring in a guy and it's a bad experience for him and then you become a bad destination and you don't give that guy a poor experience and his second chance. I think it's fair to both players and system to do that.
All right, T. Frank, we need to name a winner. Who do you got?
Oh, it was going to be Sammy. That was a great question. But Mark's question about the slot defender, that 11th defender with Jonathan Sutherland, that came over the top. So that was a good one.
Poor Sammy. You teased him there that he could have been a winner. All right, Mark, we'll be getting in touch with you. Stick around for quarter number four. We're going to talk recruiting, and specifically this past recruiting weekend. Stick around.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.